Well, we definitely don't work by pretending that we don't have a self. Mouth Zen people, mouth Buddhist people can sometimes do this. They can talk about the Dharma practice, especially in relation to precepts. Well, you know, if somebody's, you know, they've treated somebody badly, or they've done an idiotic thing where they've caused a lot of pain, and you say, hey, you know, what about harming people? You know, what are you playing at, speaking like that or doing that? And they can turn around and say, well, there's no one who practices and no one who harms. There's no self, there's no other. And when you push it, they start getting a bit narked, a bit angry, and they say, well, hang on, why are you getting angry then? There's no anger, it's all an illusion. This does happen. It has happened. And of course, this is absurd. This is a complete travesty of Buddhism. The real Chan and Zen people are well aware of this kind of nonsense. They probably had to face it in their day. One of my favourite exchanges is between Master Yun Men and one of his disciples. The monk comes to him and says, what's the problem? In other words, what's the meaning? You know, what is the problem of life? What's the meaning of life? What to do? How to overcome ignorance? What's the problem? And Yun Men, who was very direct, just said, you don't know the stench of your own shit. Meaning you don't know how the stink of your own egotism and your own pride and your own rigid sense of self, you don't know how that really stinks, how that really smells. It really is smelly because it's so stagnant and stuck. So let's not pretend that we don't have a self. We do. In fact, it's good that we have a sense of self. That's an amazing achievement, that sense of self-consciousness. That's the human state. It's a wonderful thing to be able to reflect on our experience. It means that we're not completely lost in an animal sense reaction. We have that ability to reflect on our experience. It's fantastic. It can also cause a lot of problems. So spiritual life is not about smashing that sense of self. It's first of all about refining it, expanding it, and then seeing through it. Dogen says, to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be enlightened by all the things in the universe. So we have to begin with ourselves and others. We have to begin with ourselves and all others. And you see this in meditation practice, in the humble meditations that we do ourselves. In our mindfulness of breathing, we have self and other. We have the breath, which is, as it were, out there in our body. And we have our mind, our attention. They can seem at first to be two. We feel the breath, but we observe, we look. But as we go on, mind and breath get closer and closer. We become at one with the breath. We experience the whole breath body. And when we experience that, there's an expansion. We can have this sense of the kind of coming together of our awareness and all sensations. Even what we hear outside, we become very close to. There's a kind of blending and merging of self and others. A lovely story of a late Chan master named Han Shan, who was meditating in a place where there was in a mountain fastness and all the snows were melting. And there was a great roaring all day long, very disturbing. And he remembered the teaching that if you meditated on sounds without using mind consciousness, you gain realization. So he would sit using the roaring sound as his meditation. And sure enough. So when you have this sense of self and other blending in meditation, there's a wonderful sense of relief and pleasure and bliss. There's a dissolving of tension. And in the Metta-bhavana, it's very vivid. We begin with ourselves. We begin with self-appreciation. We begin with realizing what it is to be alive, to be aware, to be self-conscious, to be human, aware of our breath, aware of the present moment. We appreciate it. We enjoy it. It's special. We're special. And in the other stages, you tune into that life in others. They are special to themselves as well. They're unique to themselves as well. They feel exactly the same way as you do to yourself. So you start to realise that fundamental non-difference, that same life, that same flow of life between yourself and everybody else. And this expands to all things. It's the same life everywhere. You lose, just gradually, that sense of self. It just drops off. Mind and body drop off, as Dogen puts it. There's no more dualistic consciousness. Consciousness, awareness kind of perfumes all beings and all things. It's not your consciousness. In fact, this consciousness, this mind, this heart, cannot be found, cannot be located. And this is when defiled mind and Alaya Vijnana just vanish away. And instead, you have Tathagatagarbha, Buddha nature, pure mind. The great Huang Po says, "The Buddhas and all beings are only one mind, nothing else. This mind, since the beginningless past, has never been born, never perished. It is not green, not yellow. It has no bounds. It transcends all limits." And Dogen, the incredible Dogen, has great and wonderful insight here. He speaks in one of his commentaries on some of the great koans about intimate language, intimate words, words that are really close to, well, words where there is no gap between them and reality. He's talking about the transmission of the Dharma between master and disciple. And he really takes hold of this phrase, intimate words, and starts to talk about intimacy, starts to talk about this mind, this non-duality, this absence of self and other, in terms of intimacy, the intimacy of all things. So we need to make our practice a becoming intimate. Dogen says, intimate means close and inseparable. There is no gap. Intimacy means the Buddhas embrace everything. You embrace everything. And I embrace everything. Practice includes all. A generation includes all. And intimacy includes all. You should clearly study this. Indeed, intimacy comes forth at the place where the person is at the moment when understanding takes place. Right now is the very moment when you are intimate with yourself, intimate with others. You are intimate with Buddhas and intimate with other beings. This being so, intimacy renews intimacy. Because the teaching of practice enlightenment is the way of Buddhas, it is intimacy that penetrates Buddhas. Thus, intimacy penetrates intimacy. Obviously, Dogen's use of the word intimacy is very specialised. He's not talking about the intimacy of romance and sex, for example. It's the intimacy that comes when you dissolve, when you expand your separateness. So practice intimacy with all beings, with all things. Practice intimacy with Buddhas. Then everybody and everything will be communicating enlightenment. And you will have received the mind transmission of all the Buddhas. You will be right there in and with everything and everyone.